Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to a broadcast today that I believe will be intriguing, challenging, informational, and a blessing to each and every one. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today God in government. God in government. I think, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we've forgotten is that God created civil government. And God created civil government to use the governmental leaders as his servants, his slave servants unto God. And I think somehow we've forgotten that. We've devolved from that principle in society today. In our constitutional republic, it was designed around the very fact that God is sovereign, God is supreme, and that every decision that is made by governmental leaders, that is, those that we elect as civil leaders in our civil government, but in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, it is explicitly clear that government is to be used as a tool of God, a servant of God. And ladies and gentlemen, let me simply give a little footnote on that as to what that means. If an individual is elected by the people, goes into office, we are responsible for who we put in office because that is the one that God has chosen to use to regulate civil society. And if that individual does not follow the edicts of the Word of God, then we're in trouble as a people, locally, statewide, and nationally. So that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll be interviewing a candidate for mayor in just a moment. We'll introduce him. We'll be doing that interview during this broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have questions that you would like to postulate for the mayoral candidate. We invite you to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, once again, as we face the issues, it's based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I called it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway, according to Psalms 119, verse 105. But, ladies and gentlemen, truth is rejected today, perhaps more than any other time in the history of our nation. It was George Orwell, the secularist, the author of the dystopian novel called 1984, in which he made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find a literal detestation today for the truth. The truth. You get into a group any place, anytime you'd like to, and you speak truth, theological, doctrinal, biblical truth, political, societal truth, and you speak the truth, and you'll have those generally that will blow up in the back and reject what you're saying. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. He makes this statement: "Truth is the core principle in the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." End quote. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge you, as I do each and every day, this portion of the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, to seek the truth and be willing to stand and defend the truth, even if you defend the truth to death. And I believe we're rapidly on the trajectory of going into the realm in America and the society in general, where if you tell the truth, your life will be taken or called upon as a result of that. We're literally devolving that rapidly, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, and politically, that the one that stands for truth is the one that's viewed as the enemy in the society in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. They can also answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the employees with Tools for Time to be off on Sunday to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God ordained it according to His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, and see what God does as far as placing you in the home of Tools for Time employee group. Ladies and gentlemen, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the election cycle, election season this year. In fact, the election season literally is not just this year. It goes into full steam 2023 then for the presidential election in 2024. So we're basically in a two-year cycle now of the election cycle or election season. And many times, ladies and gentlemen, I've found, and it is sad when I hear it coming from some people that will say, well, you know, I don't vote. I don't care. Just let it go where it, as it pleases. My vote doesn't count anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, today's woke council culture and all that it involves, I believe, is part of the problem. I believe it's caused many Christians and conservatives today to just ignore the importance of voting. Just yesterday in California, and I'm looking at the article, it says San Francisco voters ousted progressive prosecutor in a recall vote. Unlike California Governor Gavin Newsom's recent recall election, Boudin, that's Boudin, didn't face any opponents. On June 7th, San Francisco voters were simply asked to answer the yes or no question, shall Boudin be recalled, that is, removed from office as district attorney? With more than 61.3% of the votes selecting yes, San Francisco Mayor Loudon Breed must now appoint an interim district attorney until November the 8th, when a permanent replacement will be elected. The no votes total 40,921, only 38.7% of the total votes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about a five-page article. That's the highlights of it. But the point is, the people had an opportunity to vote a recall of one that his background and family comes out of a long list of socialist, Marxist, communist people. And as a result of that, they had major chaos and confusion in the city because he was not prosecuting crime. He took the position that he would just simply let crime be rampant in the city. The people had a choice. The people voted. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm using that as an illustration to point out that we, the people, we have the responsibility, and God holds us responsible as salt and light as to what we do in civil government. Government is God's servant, as I said a moment ago. In fact, in the scripture in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. It's a favorite text of mine, especially to use in the election cycle. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd simply put that in the reduced single sentence statement, we have the responsibility of electing honest men, men that honor God, men that revere God, men that are not going into the political arena for the profits or for the funding or for what he can get out of it because of covetousness, but because he loves the Lord and because he has a desire to serve the citizens of his city, his state, or in the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, God requires us to put and to elect God-honoring men to lead our nation, our state, our cities across America. Many point to the stolen election of 2020 and say that there's no point in me voting. The election was stolen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll use this as the brief illustration. Then we're going to introduce our special guest today. Just a few years back, we had a gentleman that was elected in the Florida House. We stood with him. We voted for him. We celebrated in his election. We drove to Tallahassee to be there when he was sworn in and to sit in his office and have coffee and refreshments with him. And while sitting in his office, I made the mention, I said, "You realize you won this election by just two votes. It was a two-vote margin." And I said, "That's my wife and my vote." And he laughed, of course, we said that in pun. And he said, "You realize I just had someone in my office just a few minutes ago with two of them, and they said it was their two votes that put me in office." The point that I make, ladies and gentlemen, an election can turn on one or two votes. And so every vote counts. So let me encourage you, as you listen to this broadcast today, as you're tuned in to the interview that we're about to have, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that our vote counts. And God would have us as good citizens and a civil government to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and not think that someone else needs to do the voting. We need to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, in saying that, if you're a Christian, if you're a conservative, if you're a patriot, God holds us responsible to vote for an individual that's going to preserve our constitutional republic, vote for an individual that's going to have the faith and the confidence in God to stand and do that which is honorable, that which is right, not just constitutionally, but also biblically. And that's the reason I have great joy and delight today, ladies and gentlemen, to have as interview with what I'm calling our next mayor of the city of Jacksonville. We're delighted to have, ladies and gentlemen, with us a conservative Christian Republican candidate, Al Ferrero. Al, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you for taking time out of your what I know is a very harassing, busy schedule, but I'm thankful you've taken time out to take a moment or two with us, and let's have some dialogue and discussion about your candidacy. Al, thank you for joining us. Would you first of all take a moment, just introduce yourself, tell our listeners, and maybe some listeners have not heard of you, tell our listeners who you are, and introduce yourself to our audience today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for having me on. You do a tremendous service to God and our country with your show and your program, and I appreciate, and it's an honor to be with you and all the people listening today. So thank you for having me out here. So my name is Al Ferrero. I've been married for just 32 years. I have a wonderful daughter who is 26 years old, pride and joy. I've had my business for over 35 years, which is Ferrero Lawn Service. All I was ever interested in, sir, was making a lot of money when I first started. I wanted to have a beautiful wife. I wanted to have a big house, big boat, big car. I wanted to have all the American dream. And in 2010, some things started happening differently that kind of opened my eyes and put me in perspective in the world that money was not everything.
Amen.
And one of the things that I realized at that point was that exactly the things that you were saying, that, you know, God puts us on here and puts things in our path to where we can actually have a better better outcome of what we're doing by doing things. And I ran for office. I ran for office the first 4 years for trying to fix potholes and drainage and making roads better. And I thought that was the path of a city councilman. the second term I went through, it seemed like I'm fighting for our Constitution. I'm fighting for our religious liberties and freedoms, and fighting to keep our police funded. It really the roles have completely changed quite a bit. And when these things started happening, I started thinking, maybe I do need to run for mayor, because it's not getting better. It's kind of getting worse in some of the things that we can go over later. But that's kind of my how I got into the political arena. I've never been political before. Most people that are helping me are not political. They're just average, hardworking, everyday people. Amen. And I guess people just feel like there's been such a shift. We're having to protect our religion, our belief, and even in our government. And this is not okay. This can't keep going in this direction. So I have decided I was going to throw my hat in the ring over a year ago. I have had a lot of grassroots people who have come out to help me, who have been supportive of me. And I believe that this, you hear people get up all the time and say that this was a calling. This was something that I knew was something that I was supposed to do, just because there's so many hurdles that are thrown in front of me that the Lord has given me a pathway on every single time, whether it was to get up in front of speak and connect with somebody who typically would not listen, or somebody who was deciding to do the wrong thing, who decided to change and go down a different path. So I'm very humbled that you're having me on your show, because I know how rigorously you screen people. And it's really important to me to do this job and to do it well. And hopefully I will do the job that the Lord will be proud of.
Amen. Well, that's the right mode of the right heart. That, and by the way, this is not complimenting you publicly just to lavish on praise, but the compliment is very, very, very real, because that is the ideal of what God's Word tells us ought to be. It should be those that are willing to serve sacrificially, not for greed of money, as very clear in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, but simply out of awe and reverence for God. And God created government, and as a governmental agent, i.e. one that is serving the people through a governmental position, and you have been. And I can say to our listeners, I'm thankful for your track record and what you've done in the almost 8 years that you've been in office now, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for having been a part of that. And I pray that our listeners will listen well. Let me remind our listeners at this juncture, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you dial in today. Ask our next mayor some of the questions that you believe would be pertinent, some of the things that's heavy on your heart, some of the things you have questions about as to what government is doing, what government should do as you see it. Al, let me ask you a couple of questions that I think is pertinent for the position of mayor. I believe in Jacksonville, we're watching our city becoming victim to what I call increasing crime and criminal violence. What's causing this? What's causing the increase? And what do you see as the answer for the foreseeable future in our city?
So I don't think crime has just creeped its way in right away. I think it's been a breakdown of the family. It's mm-hmm. totally been a breakdown of our Christian belief and family. Life is just not valued. It's, no matter where you go in the city, we've got violent crime happening. You hear people referring to it as gun violence, but it's not gun violence. It's criminal violence. It's a behavior. It's a belief of life just is not important. And it shows throughout our city. Just in this past week, we have had somebody who had been killed every single day this week. And then yesterday we had multiple shootings that went on over off of Barracuda. And what's happening is, you are bombarded with that life is not important, or it does not hold the value that it should. And it starts at an early age. So this is something that we've got to reverse, and it's something that you're not going to be able to stop overnight. It's something that has to be taught back into our schools. People need to go back to the church and go back to the teachings of the biblical teachings, not these things that are made up by man. And part of what I can do on the crime side is the same thing that I've done in the past in the district that I serve, is getting community buy-in, getting the community to know that we need their help as the city, as police, because the police are simply a reactionary group. And as running for mayor, one of the things that I would do for the violent crime is I would start going into the areas, just like I've been doing with my district, and going in there and talking with people to where they know that the elected official, and in this case, if I was mayor, the highest elected official, would be in there to break the code of silence, to be able to work with the community as well with the police to put these people, put them in jail if necessary, or get them mental treatment and help, but get them off the street, because my biggest concern is that we have our taxpaying, hardworking people that are kind of being put on the back burner. When we have violent crime, it affects everybody. It affects all areas of town. It affects all races, all economic groups, everything. And what's happening is it's gotten out of place to a point to where it's almost the new norm. And I'm not okay with that. Raising a daughter, wanting to bring her, you know, she's going off to college, bringing her back to this city to have grandchildren. This is not the city that I grew up in. The city I grew up in, we used to leave our doors unlocked. We used to have things to where we weren't worried about our neighbors. Our neighbors were part of our family and our friends. And we have got to bring that back. And the only way we're going to be able to bring that back is through the Word of God, and also to get people who are in office to where they're doing their jobs, they're trusted, and they have the community who supports what they're doing. But we have to work together to do that. We can't go easy on crime. We actually got to get tougher on it.
Absolutely. I am so thankful to hear what you're saying. Al, out of all of the what they call the mass shootings across America, I've had the privilege down through the last several years when these things started occurring on a more frequent basis to do a major research on cause and effect. And let me take a few moments before I ask the next question. I have found that in each and every one of these cases, without exception, where a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old will go in and shoot a number of people, whether it's in school or in a church or at a grocery store, and the what they're now deeming as mass murders. And in each and every case, without exception, that individual was on or at the time or had been on some type of psychotropic drugs that would alter the mind. That individual came in every occasion out of a fatherless home or a broken home. That individual in every occasion came out of a home where there were no morals, ethics, and values taught, i.e. Christian influence was not found in that person's life. Came out of the public school system where the students are taught that we evolved from a blob in the ocean, that God didn't create us, and that therefore we do not have any responsibility to God. They came out of a school where the sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQ agenda is taught, where life is worthless and can be a child can be murdered in the mother's womb, called abortion, and it's legal. And so therefore, that makes up the totality of the mindset of that individual that goes out and pulls the trigger. Secondly, each and every one of these have been heavily involved on in and with online mass murders by way of TikTok and or other social media platforms that allow them just by pressing the button to literally shoot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And as one murderer said just a few years ago, I just want to see what it would be like to see a real person die or to be killed. So that makes it up, and you've touched on it so eloquently and properly. So that being the case, and I know this may be a broad question that would not have an immediate, minuscule, pointed, particular answer. But if that is the case, how do we start at the correction or the eradication or the at least reducing the amount of crime if we know those things to be factual? And secondly, with that, we've got a nation today that majority of our states have authorized marijuana. The state of Oregon, just 1 year ago, this last month, had approved every hard drug, cocaine, fentanyl, and all of the other hard drugs, as well as marijuana. And the crime and the death rate and the overdoses have increased by about 700% in Oregon. So with that being said as the backdrop, what would you say is the greatest effect that you could have when elected as mayor to help stem that tide for our city?
You know, that's a long question, and I think I can narrow it down.
Good.
You know, people emulate what they see. A lot of people want to follow in the footsteps of successful people. So before I say things or before I do things, I try to really think it out, because I know people are watching me as a council member. They watch me as a business leader or as a father. So I try to live and do the things that I feel are important, so that when people are watching, you're not one of these people who say one thing and do another.
Amen.
And when you go out, and I'll give you a couple examples. A lot of times when I go out and I'm in my suit with the city council, I can go in other parts of town to where the kids may not have fathers or mothers, or either one. They may be being raised by grandparents or great-grandparents. So if I go out in a suit and a tie, they look at me as an outsider, not somebody they can actually see. I own a lawn service. So when I go out in my jeans and my shirts and I start trying to do things that are helpful as mentoring, you know, you come across children who want to become doctors, or they want to become veterinarians, or they want to join the military. If I'm in my suit, I can't really make that connection with them. But if I'm in my jeans and my boots, I can make that connection with them. And then having the city government, I can actually steer them in places to where I can make these connections, where they can go and they can learn about veterinarian school. They can learn about beauty cosmetics. They can go and join the military. It gives you that opportunity. So you have to be able to use what you have. And sometimes you do it in a suit. Sometimes you do it in boots and jeans. But you always are doing it with what you're saying and what's in your heart and respect and honor, to where if you're the type of person that honors God, it's being watched.
Right.
And they'll want to know, why are you doing this? And it sometimes you don't have to tell somebody. If you're doing the things that are clean for your belief, people will emulate it. They'll say, how did you do this? Why did you get into it? And I explain how I got into it. I was not always the clean cut person. It, you know, things in life kind of mold you and put you in that position, but they were done for a reason. And I recognize the reasons that God came into my life to put all these things in front of me. But it wasn't just for me. It was for me to get out there and teach it to other people, and to
Amen.
Try to help them correct their lives if there's some pathway that I can help.
Absolutely. Al, hold just a moment, Al, with your thoughts. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question comment, please.
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my phone call. My question, sir, is that we've run into problems with fentanyl drugs down in Brevard County, and there's spiritual warfare associated with these drugs, and the gangs are using demons with these drugs to peddle their drugs that give them power. So my advice to you, sir, is to get some hardcore spiritual warriors into your city, pull down these demonic witchcraft strongholds, and you're going to see a lot of light come into your city, sir. And that's the truth. We faced it before. We've seen it done through fasting and prayer, and God removed the enemy. So this is something that the church should do more of, is spiritual warfare and intercessory prayer. And this will expel the light, as well as preaching the gospel, going door to door and preaching the gospel and letting the light of Jesus shine in the communities as you pull down these strongholds. Thank you for
Amen.
Your time.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin, for the insight.
Dr. Youngblood, I couldn't question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead,
Al. I couldn't hear the question, sir.
He was making, it wasn't a question as much as it was a recommendation that there be more prayer and fasting, asking God to intervene and to deliver us from it, because these drugs are bringing in demonic powers into our cities, into our homes, into our governmental relationships, and there's a need
Absolutely.
For God. And so he was right on target with what he was saying with that, and I would second that, and I know that you'd second and or third it, so I am thankful for that.
Absolutely.
Al, we've got about 30 seconds before we have our top of the hour news break, but when we come back after the news, I want to talk about some of the things that's needed from the standpoint of carrying out what you're talking about, and the question is, do we need more police officers on the streets? And how do you think we can accomplish that? I understand we're having a difficult time recruiting them. So, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
In Jacksonville, Florida, To learn more, visit conservative.edu.